you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We commit this time, this day, and your people into thy hands. They are in your hands, we know, Lord, but we surrender. We surrender them, Lord. And we continue to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. That's the purpose even of this study, that we will know beforehand what happens when your kingdom comes. We are prepared for it, Lord, because you said that's what we should be seeking first in our lives, your kingdom. So we commit ourselves, Lord, even during this time of teaching and in prayer, Lord, continue to speak to us, that our hearts and our minds are stayed on you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We turn to Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 to 11. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was a flying eagle. The four living creatures each had six wings and full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him and who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. We have seen and we have spoken about the importance and the power of prophecy. Okay. One third of the Bible we have seen is prophecy, almost, or more than one third, talking about the future. If I were able to tell with 100% accuracy what is going to happen in 2024, everyone will flock to hear. That is something we all desire, want to know. What is? That's why one of the reasons everybody comes for watch night service, because they want to receive a promise, which is something connected with the, and they want their promise cards and all that. So that is, around that is everything is centered. You need to understand why it is so, so important. That's why also why there are so many true and false prophets, and why the strict warning about false prophecy in the old covenant that he should be executed. Okay? Because what prophecy means, what it means to man. And in the Bible, if you look at the prophecies, it's 100%. And we have seen the prophecies being fulfilled. Okay? And the season which we celebrate is a celebration of the fulfilled prophecies of God connected with Christ. Okay? But we also need to realize when the actual event happened, when Christmas, the actual event happened, almost nobody realized it. And almost everybody rejected it when that prophecy happened. That's why Jesus says in John 1:11, it is written, he came to his own. Okay, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Why did they? When by not receiving him, one of the things they did was they rejected the prophecies. They were the only set of people, his own, that is the Jews. He came as a Jew, as an Israelite. Okay, born of woman. That is common to all of us, thank God. Okay, common to all of us. Otherwise, if it is written born under the law, then he was only for the Jews. He was born of woman. He was born for all of us. Under the law, very, very specific. Very, very specific. Okay, very, very specific. So he was born under the law. And that prophecy, when it actually happened, nobody believed. Nobody believed. You'll see also when he was walking with his disciples, especially his disciples, and ultimately the core 11. So when he was talking to them about a future event, that the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights and the resurrection, all that. The fact, it was a prophecy. It's a prophecy. But when it was fulfilled, nobody was there. Nobody was there. Nobody was there. Okay? Nobody was there. So we need to realize this is where we get caught. We get caught. Okay? We get caught. And so, but right from the beginning, the first prophecy in the Bible, of course, is in Genesis 3 when he says, no, we don't have to go there. The seed of the woman. Okay? Okay. And what happens in the Isaiah prophecy, if you go over there unto us. Okay? Okay? Isaiah. Yeah. Okay. A concordance is here. Come on. Okay. Yeah. Can I have 6 also? 6 and 7? Okay. 6 and 7. No? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Okay. Now if you look at 6. Okay. 6. Because only we understand. The Jews don't see it. That's why they got caught in this. The 6, that one line, like, is cut into two dispensations. Exactly. Into two dispensations. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then when it says the government will be upon his shoulder, it's talking about the millennial reign. And we can't fault them fully because they read it as one. So that is their aspiration. So are they asking this question? Yeah, we know this. And it says the government will be upon his shoulder. Have you come to overthrow the Roman reign and take over? That's their excitement of spreading the cloaks and Hosanna and all that, because they're so excited. It is not that they did not know prophecy, but they did not understand the interpretation and the time, that how God, they did not understand the ways of God, that first God has to deal with sin and then only he can reign over man. Okay, he cannot reign over man until he is seated first in his heart. Yes, and I even know those who are saved, all of us sitting here are saved. Our struggle is basically with that. It's not with the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. The fact is enthroning him in our heart. That's our daily struggle. The man in the world doesn't struggle with it because he doesn't realize. So if you, I mean, I don't know about you. When I was in the world before I got saved, sin didn't bother me. As long as your parent didn't catch you or your teacher didn't catch you, it didn't bother you. Problem was always how to do it without getting caught. So you're always thinking that way, okay? How to do it without getting caught. And it's the truth about it, okay? I mean, now you look at it, your father was the law, okay? And what you did against what he said was sin for you. So if you could do it, if you did it and he caught you, the consequences followed. Okay, and then if you could do it without him getting caught, you thought you were smart. Okay, and then when you grew up and he's no longer in the picture, sin did not matter anymore because he's not there in the picture. And you see, and you look into the old covenant and you see, you lived it out. You lived it out. It was your reality. Moses is not there. It doesn't matter. Father is not there. It does not matter. It does not matter. Okay, so, and a point will come in the time where your father is too old and he doesn't care kind of anymore. So, who is this man Moses? Aren't we also? Kind of an attitude came. You loved him. You honored him without obeying him. So, when I read the old covenant, I see it all in me. See it all in me. Okay, that then when you come to the new covenant, you realize, okay, this is a different picture. Now the struggle has gone inside because you cannot escape from him. Because the spirit has come inside. So we see this. This is the danger of prophecy. The danger of prophecy. So the book of Revelation is the final prophetic utterance of God. Okay? Final prophetic utterance of God, therefore its importance. Therefore the blessing pronounced, those who read and hear and do the blessing, the final, what is going to happen. And we saw in Revelation 1:19, the tone is set over how it will be. Okay, write the things which you have seen and the things which are. So we are in that second stage, the things we have seen. Okay, we see, and the things which are, we are there, okay, in the church age. We are still there in the church age. So we have to be careful because in chapter 4, we are going to be shown the things which will take place after this. The things that will take place after this, we are still. So we should be very careful about the things which are in the past, the old, old covenant, everything. We see how God dealt with the ways of God, how he dealt with from Adam and Eve onwards. We have to see, and then we suddenly, when we come to Ezekiel and Isaiah, we have a glimpse of what happened before that, how he dealt with that. So we realize, oh boy, God hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's still the same. Okay, he's still the same. And then we look at the seven churches and we look at it carefully that you can be absolutely on the dot on your money with the word. But if your affections are not there, your passions are in there, your first love is in there, God still will say, I will disqualify you. Okay, so the first two letter is very important because it's beginning. See, when you are, judging, okay, I mean, God's parameter seems to be different from mine because after the first few judgments in your classroom, you knew who were the good ones. Okay, so what you did was that you put them at the bottom of the pile. Let me read there. So at the end, I can have some pleasure. Okay, have some pleasure. And let me go with all the ones who bring you sorrow. Okay, read. Because English, the problem with other papers is every letter has to be read. Other subjects, you just have to look at the answer. Okay, but when it comes to English, every line, grammar, spelling, everything has you to go through. So at the end, you have pleasure. God reverses the order. He brings with Ephesus the best in terms of, and he says, you know what, you are not good. One thing is not good, rest all is good. And comes to the last one is hopeless. Not hopeless, with God there is always hope, okay? And in between he puts two good papers. Now I wish I had read the book of Revelation. Maybe I would have done it that way. Taken the pile of 100 papers and put one at 3:33 and one at 66. So, and then gone through it, and maybe I would have more pleasure. But I didn't know the book of Revelation then. Okay, so God's way. So even the way God does it, we realize his ways are not our ways. Even when the way he evaluates an answer paper, he doesn't do the way we do. Okay, so it is good. So this is the way it is. Things which are, and the things. So we learn from all. We have to go back into the past. We saw, right? On Saturday and Sunday, the purpose of love for scriptures, that we learn and we get the comfort and the patience. We learn. We learn from scriptures, from the past, the present, and the book of Revelation is like a preview, okay, into the future. The coming of Jesus. The catching or the rapture of the saints. Okay, then again, the rapture of the saints has been one of the most controversial subjects in eschatology, especially in these last days. Okay. The reason is that, you know, every one of us who have traveled in a train that went through a tunnel, okay, like when I go home, there are 3, 4, 5, 6 tunnels that you have to cross through if you go by the smaller route. The thing is that when you enter the tunnel into it, at the end of it, you see one small little round light. The closer you get to it, that exit of the tunnel, the things become clearer and clearer and clearer. So like I say, when it comes to the end, it is also time locked. So the signs were given by Jesus Christ. Okay. But because these signs looked general, but it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer when we come to the end. Like when we talk about the one world government. So the believers in the first century thought it was the Roman age, because they had no clue about the earth, how big it was, that other nations that existed. Like even in the Babylonian captivity, it only went till India, and beyond that nobody knew. Alexander came till India and then cried that he had no more nations to conquer, but he only came to a tip of India. He didn't see the rest of India. So we need to realize people were they did not know. So even when you are reading the same text from different ages, your perspective is not the same. So now we have come to that point where Daniel talks about knowledge shall increase. Men shall go to and fro. We have come to that point. Even when he wrote it, he did not understand what it really meant, because the Bible is basically prophetic. God uses servants, 40 approximate servants through whom the Spirit of God spoke. And in time, when we see things are becoming more and more and more clearer. So even when Jesus gave the signs, it is more clearer today. And now, Saturday, Pastor was telling me, there's a group that is teaching that Jesus is coming back on 33 AD. I said, we do not know. I said, we don't blame them, but you cannot put a time frame like that. They're going by the perception he died and rose again in 33 AD. So 2033, it is 2000 years. And if you strictly go by the first day and the second day, it looks like we are in 23. We got 10 more years to go. Could be. I'm not saying no or yes. I said, it doesn't matter, because he only said the day and the hour. He didn't talk about a year. So you want to put a year, but don't do it. It's a very dangerous thing, because the problem is if you set an year and if it doesn't come during that year, people get disappointed. So if you're going to put a prophetic, be very, very sure. And you cannot be sure because he hasn't said. And then there is one thing written few places in the New Covenant, the bridegroom delayed. And the simple question is, why did the bridegroom delay? Two reasons. One, for more to get in. Second, those got in to get ready. And we see what happened to the people who got in when he delayed. They did not get ready. Five did not get ready. Five were ready. So the five who got in, maybe because he delayed, they got in. Because they delayed. The others, the problem was, everything for them to get ready was there, but they did not get ready. Remember, they said go and buy, and they really went out and bought oil, but they came in, the time was up. So it was not possible for them to get ready, but the time was gone. So these are the pictures we need to get ready. You can actually get ready after time. So time is an important factor. It will be pointless to get ready. Like, you know, we used to get after the examination hall and you say, "Ayyo, I made a mistake. This was the answer." But it's too late. The answer paper is already taken away from you. You got the answer. But what's the point? The paper is out of your hands. Okay. So even there, when it comes to the foolish virgins, it is said that they came back with the oil. But the problem, so that is where we have to be very, very conscious about time. About time, it is not, because I know in me, maybe in you too, this, when it comes to things of God, this always the spirit of procrastination, not the things of this world. That the same husband who will get upset with his wife because breakfast is not ready will not get upset with himself that he did not spend time with God. He will readily excuse himself that he did not pray, he did not spend time with God, he didn't intercede for his family. Yet he will get upset because in the temporal, the other person was late. So when it comes to this eternal thing, that is why God keeps on saying the temporal things are temporal. The things you see are temporal. What you don't see are there is, when he talks about eternal, it actually also means there is a finality about them. Like, if I don't eat a breakfast, it doesn't matter. I can delay it by 10 minutes. But it says if you delay that by 10 minutes, you do not know the effect it will have on your life in eternity. Because there's a finality about it. But this can be okay even if you miss breakfast. What happens to you? Nothing happens to you. Okay. So get this picture, because only when talk about food or dabbu, people get very excited, because these two things affect, you know. So when we get closer and closer and closer, the most anticipated event, and Jesus himself, the most beautiful of all the prophecies, John chapter 14, 1 to 3 is the most powerful and comforting. Okay. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. This is all orchestrated by him, but done by the Spirit through me. So believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so. Now we look at that and we say, how is it possible? For us, a mansion is a mansion or a house. In a house, you cannot have many mansions. So suddenly we are moved into a different dimension. Okay, that's why we cannot, that's why when we read, now we go into Revelation 4, we will never fully understand it. Even if you were to be taken in the spirit and see a glimpse of heaven, you still can only relate it to what you have seen over here. So, we cannot be dogmatic about our interpretation of the symbols. Okay, so, in my Father's house are many mansions, it doesn't make sense to us. Okay, how is it possible? Okay, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. So, if you were to see in the light of rapture, this is talking about rapture. This is not talking about the second coming. It's not coming up a second. It's very clear. Okay, I will come, receive it to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. Okay, so this is talking about, so that is the most anticipated event in theory. Anticipation, I do not know, because in the Bible it talks about those who are eagerly waiting for him. Eagerly waiting for him. So if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18, again, one of the most powerful verses through the Spirit, for the Lord himself will descend, okay, from heaven with his shout, okay, listen, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Like I said, if there is no rapture, there is no comfort. Okay, okay, there is no comfort. So, rapture. So, what is happening over here is there is an excitement that is going to take place. Take place, okay? So, this portion is a little more clearly described by the Holy Spirit through the same apostle later. Roma 1 Thessalonians was written the first by Paul, and later 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51 onwards. Okay, 51. Behold, I tell you. Now he says it's a mystery. I'm telling you a mystery. Okay. Now if it's a mystery, it's a mystery. We will not fully understand it. Okay. Because it is, if it is a mystery connected with this world, we have all these mystery books. Okay. At the end, the mystery is unraveled. But if it is talking about another dispensation, we will only understand it part. We shall not all sleep. So he's talking about one particular moment in history. It can only happen once. Cannot happen twice. There's one particular moment in history where all will not die, but we shall all be changed. Okay, all will not die, but all we all shall all be. In this first we is those who are alive when Jesus comes. In the second we are those who are alive and those who are dead. We shall all be changed. And it comes to the next verses up to 54. What happens? 52. Yeah. In a moment. How will it happen? In a moment. Then that moment, we call it today a second, he exemplifies further. It is less than a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, when at the last trumpet. Why we are coming here? Because we went in Revelation 4, he hears the voice like a trumpet. Thessalonians, this trumpet keeps on coming. We find it difficult to understand because we are not Jewish in our culture. For them, the trumpet makes a very important, because that was how they began their journey in the wilderness. The trumpets were given for different occasions. For the trumpet will sound, and the Bible says, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? And for this, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is. So what is actually happening over there is, what happening over there, those who come with him will receive their bodies in a twinkling of an eye. That is basically, that's what it means, the dead shall arise. Okay, because later in 20, all those who did not arise, their bodies are standing, but not changed. In their corruptible form, they will stand. In their old bodies, they will stand before God in Revelation 20. So here, because it is so fast, the speed which it happens, it looks like it's happening simultaneously. It looks like they are coming, but as they are coming, they will receive their bodies first. Please understand. They receive their bodies first. We receive our bodies after that, but it is almost look like, both look like simultaneous, okay? And when they are coming down from there, the Bible says, he will come in the clouds. Now, we see clouds, but also remember, we are surrounded by a cloud of saints. Now, if you were to think about, like, Revelation chapter 3, let's go to chapter 6, okay, just one portion, 9 to 11. 6, okay, 9 to 11. Revelation 6, yeah, 6, 9 to 11. He opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony of which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it and said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So you really see something over there, because we'll come to that later. Every one of these saints in heaven are given a white robe. So they're wearing a white robe over their spiritual bodies without receiving their physical bodies. So if you were to see, like the Bible talks about, Jude talks about tens upon thousands, let us say 5 billion saints in their white garments and glorified bodies are coming down. Okay? Like, you know, when the sun shines upon the clouds, when you are right now, when you are in their aircraft, when you're going up, and then you see the sun, you see the splendor of it. That's what it is talking about. When this happens, okay, that is represented by John. That is a popular interpretation, Revelation 4:1. Then John is the last of the surviving apostles. So he represents those who are alive. Those who are alive. Okay. And we are being given a sneak preview. But remember, the first thing what will happen is, honestly, think about it, okay? This is where I always say, you know, the most important thing in the kingdom of God is love. Why Jesus puts that about love over there is that. Think about it, right? No? Honestly, think about it. And I don't know. I cannot relate it for you. I cannot relate it only for myself. Okay? Imagine the rapture takes place at 10:30 today. Okay, first be prepared. And then, we are being taken up from here and they are coming down from there. So I look up and the first thing is, of course, Jesus Christ is there first and foremost. But after that, the excitement of seeing your dad, your mom, the child you lost. Okay. And that's how it's going to happen. The excitement, all your saved loved ones have gone before you. So you need to realize why this is such an exciting moment. Not only you love the Lord so much, and the Lord, Paul says, the church whom you love without see, and the ones you love whom you have seen. All the ones. Okay? And this is going to be the most exciting moment, because the saved who are ahead and the saved who are here are going to meet in the air. Okay? Air. And we are being given a sneak preview in Revelation 4 verse 1. Okay. And behold, I saw a door standing. What you are seeing is the greatest blockbuster ever. Mm. It's a trailer preview. Okay, that's why trailers are released and then people flock to the movies. Okay. One Pastor Vijay said about some junk movie that has been released. Now everybody is mad about that movie. I mean, the women are mad about that movie. The men are glad about that movie. I only read the review. I was wondering why so much hangama over a movie which made a lot of money. People are so angry. Usually people make a lot of money and people are very happy. But one movie, people are so angry because it is making a lot of money. So it's a preview. Okay. That previews are written so that people will flock for the main thing. So in Revelation chapter 4, we have a preview. The blockbuster trailer, okay? What is heaven like? Please understand, we can never fully comprehend, because one, when Adam fell, he lost the capacity to understand that realm. So we are living caught in what we call, I think, a three-dimensional world. And we are talking about a different dimensional world. So that is why even when we read Revelation 4, I was thinking, when I was reading Revelation 4 the first time, the second time, the third time, I was still trying to figure it out in a three-dimensional world. It is not a three-dimensional world, okay? Now, one of the things which the Holy Spirit was impressing on me is that if you need to see it, he says, look into the sky. And remember when we had that four-dimensional thing in those, I think Ramoji Film City has one, Singapore, I remember going into one of those. It's a different world altogether. Right, different world altogether. And that was my, in Singapore, I think was my first four-dimensional of the cowboy world I lived in. It was always three-dimensional, reading, or the, and watching on movies, cowboys. And in this four-dimensional, I was sitting on a horse, not a real one, a rocking one. And I was trying to shoot, and I realized I missed almost all the targets. So when you get into the four-dimensional world, if you are living over here, so he's getting a picture of it. He got there, but we can only see from this world. So we cannot really, because our capacity to understand, perceive the eternal has been corrupted, okay? And that is why the Bible talks about he was in the spirit. And the Bible talks about God is looking for those who will worship him in truth and in the spirit, okay? So the most important part of us after we are born again is not the body or the soul. It is the spirit. And the soul has to be saved so that it is able to really understand, perceive what the spirit is saying. That is our struggle. That is why we have dreams and visions. So let us leave visions aside, which visions are particular. Dreams, everybody dreams. Okay, dreams. And a dream is a different reality altogether. So you wake up disturbed, wake up upset, or wake up happy. But you know it was a different world. Yeah. But the spirit world is like that. The spirit world is like that. And that's, therefore, we have to be very careful, okay? So, the voice was like a trumpet. The whole thing was, come up hither. Okay? Come up hither. Why? I'm going to show you first a glimpse of heaven. Glimpse of heaven. Two, of how heaven actually determines the future. And for heaven, there is no future. Okay? Because the first thing he sees, immediately I was in the spirit, behold, a throne. And the word is set in heaven. A throne that is set in heaven. It's firmly established. The absolute total sovereignty of God over everything that is happening. Therefore, Okay. So remember, he is in the time of their tribulation. That's how he introduces tribulations. Why can we be patient? Because the throne is set in heaven. Okay, there is a throne. Because he's living on earth as if the Roman emperor's throne is set here. But God says, you don't have to worry. These ones will all go. They will come and go. Every dispensation will come and go. But there is a throne that is set in heaven. So come up here. I will show you things which must. So we think things are ordained here, determined by men. God says no. It's determined there. I determine things. Everything that we are seeing is God's history. What he has, we can't use the term history. What he has ordered, playing it out. So what is our role in this is to stand in the gap and intercede. That's why we call intercession is the most important ministry in the kingdom of God, because he's standing, understanding, perceiving the will of God. Okay? And praying according to the will of God. That's why it's not that whatever you believe you will receive. No. You cannot believe what has not been willed. This is where the whole problem comes with the prosperity teaching. Because you are now deciding the will of God. Now, you cannot receive everything that you have willed. The Bible says we have assurance only if it is according to the will of God. So, general will of God, we can believe. Lord, I want to be holy. He said, fine. Everybody. That's my will. If you decide that, I will give it to you. Lord, I want to be righteous. Perfect. But Lord, I want this particular thing in this particular time. He said, wait. First seek whether it is my will or not. Whether it is my will or not. Whether it is my will or not. So that is where we have to be very careful about the particulars each one needs, because God will say that you don't need that in your life to fulfill my will in your life. If you needed it, I will give it to you. Okay, you need it, but you don't need it now. I will tell you when you need it. Okay, so that's where the surrender comes from. That's why in Romans 12 it says, surrender, then you will know what is the pleasing, perfect will of God. And the prosperity gospel, what it does is to make us believe our will overrules the will of God. And if it does, the problem is it brings judgment. Where the will of man overrules the will of God. And God says, you want it, you can take it, you can have Saul. You were not willing to wait. If you had waited, remember, Samuel is still alive. When David is around, they just had to wait. They before times that you are too old, we don't like your sons, please give us a king. And he got very upset. And God said, don't worry about it. Give them what they want. If they had waited, David would have arrested. It's not that God did not want them to have a king, because we need to have leaders to rule over us. But he says, my man is there. You're asking for somebody before time. I found a man after my own heart. Imagine if they hadn't asked and God hadn't given. And then God goes to Samuel and says, go to Jesse's house. I picked a man. Bring him under you. Mentor him. You keep ruling, but mentor him. Just like Eli mentored Samuel. Samuel was supposed to mentor David and enthrone him. History would have been different. Now we are looking at a national history. This is the same thing that happens to us in our personal history. It's not that God did not intend, but we asked for something before time and what we got was not what God intended. Okay, so God says, wait. God says, wait. That is where surrender comes. So here you will see we're talking about what is coming. What happens is immediately, okay. What he first sees is a throne set. Established. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, the things which I ask myself, whenever I ask God something, is what I see first, his throne set. Okay. That's what the son in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, take this cup, but not my will, your throne be established, not mine. And this is the conflict, actually, we all go through. This is the journey of faith, where the throne of God, which is set in heaven, is ultimately set in our hearts, permanently established in every area of our life. So when we talk about a person like Joseph, a prototype of an overcomer, or Daniel, if you realize, early in their life, what they established was the sovereignty of God in their lives. And therefore, God is able to reveal them and take them farther. So when we talk to young, see the issue here, when we talk about the millennium, when we talk about rapture and all, if you look at young people are not interested, even in church, any message. They are not really interested because they are looking to the future. We have so much in this world. So they are not willing to submit. The older ones have already experienced life and find it is worthless. So they are looking forward to. The problem in both cases is this man ran his life in the world. He's coming to the fag end of his life and he has hardly anything to offer God. This man has so much to offer God, he will not offer God. So God is looking for somewhere one young man will offer everything to God. And then you read in the Bible, they were the ones who were used till the end. This is a trap the world is creates for the believer within the church. So here is a young man, John was very, very young, the youngest of the disciples, surrendered very early. Therefore, he is the last of the apostles and he's been given a picture. He's been given a picture. Same thing with Apostle Paul, one of the youngest ones, surrenders very early. Through him, we get to know what eternity is. So the thing is here. What he sees, and immediately, okay, he sees a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. The question is that, the thing is that, he's able to see it also because that is his reality. That is his reality down on earth. Because how does John begin in the gospel of, in the book of Revelation? I, John, in the tribulation, in the patience of the saints, was in the spirit on the Lord's day. In an unbelievably terrible situation, he's still worshipping God. That is Lordship. That is why God doesn't talk about anything else. He says, what I am trying to create on earth is a set of worshippers. Who are worshippers? Worshippers are those who have established the throne of God in their lives. So we will see in this, the four living creatures worship him. The 24 elders are worshipping him. Thanksgiving, praise are different. The ultimate is worship. Worship. Okay? And that's what God is trying to create. And he is a worshipper, so he is able to see a throne set in heaven and one that sat on the throne. But in verse 3, what you will see is this is probably the only description of the form of God. We don't see God anywhere in the Bible. We don't see him anywhere in the Bible. We see the form of God over there. We see the symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then we will see in Revelation 5 and verse, 4 and 5 is the throne room. In verse 5 and verse 6, we see after the revelation of the Father and the Holy Spirit, 5, 6. Okay, 5, 6, yeah. I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent out into all the earth. So we see the Son also there. So in the throne room, we see the Father form. Okay, all that jasper and this thing is just talking about the glory. It's talking about the glory. We see the Holy Spirit there has seven spirits, okay, seven lambs. But when the Son comes into the picture, the Holy Spirit is suddenly seen in the Son. Because he has the fullness of the Spirit. So he's revealed as, what is it, seven horns in terms of absolute authority. So Jesus comes and says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Father has vested the Son with complete authority and also seven eyes, complete knowledge. So when you say today, when people look at Jesus, when he walked in the flesh and said, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour except the Father. It is not true now. It was true then. Because now he has absolute, the Father has given it all to the Son so that he will bring all his enemies under his feet and then he will hand it over to the Father. So you have the picture of the triune God in the throne room. That's where we reach. And when we come to back to verse 3 and 4 in Revelation 4, especially verse 3, he who sat there was like a jasper, a sight. It's only talking about the form, okay, the glory. And the Bible says about that, and there was a rainbow. Now, when we usually see rainbows, the thing is that the rainbow actually is a circle. But we see it as a bow because either it is swallowed by the clouds, okay, it ends at some point. But if you have seen certain times, you can see this rainbow has a full circle. Okay, full circle. And there we see the rainbow. It's like, no. So you have to have a four-dimensional view of heaven. Okay, that's why it is good to see. I mean, because we live in the city, it's very difficult. If whenever you go to these mountain areas where there is no pollution and no lights and you look, it's a different view altogether, clear. You literally see the stars and the flattens, the meteors. Think something like that. Okay, without the darkness, light upon light, the center, we are seeing the center of all of God's creation, the visible and the invisible, everything over there. At the center, what you see is the throne, and everything is literally revolving around it. That's what you see. It is not to basically explain to us what is happening. It is basically to make our jaws drop. Okay, and what you are seeing over there, you will see, you know, as a sadness, all that around the throne where 24 elders. Okay, we had this question, no, about the elders, because that's, I mean, that's what I said. These are not things about issues about to fight, because if you wait a little long, you will understand why do you fight about these things. Sooner or later, we will know who these 24 are. The reason is because of that one term called elders. So one eschatological group will come and says, elder is a term used only in the new covenant. It is not, but it's not true. It's not. It is not true. Okay. Because if you look at that, there are 24 thrones. So this is a throne. This is a throne. Okay, in Colossians 1:16, when the Bible talks about eternity past, when God created, in him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones. Okay, so the first thing is the thrones, okay, dominions or principalities or powers. Now, we do not know whether a throne rebelled. We do not know whether Lucifer was one of those thrones, okay, like in our country, we know, like, the prime minister is the most powerful, okay, throne. So there are thrones, okay, but there is a throne above all thrones, okay, Lord of lords. So there are lords, King of kings. There are kings, okay. The Old Testament word for, or the English word for it is basically emperor, okay, emperor. So there are thrones. Okay, in Revelation 3 and verse 21, okay, Revelation 3, 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my father on his throne. So throne is something being offered to the overcomers, okay, because we are seeing a picture of something in the future, but in the kingdom of God, there is no future. There is no past. There is no present. It's one continuum. Because there is no time. Okay. So, because we are looking at the elders, they are sitting on thrones. And in Revelation 3, 4 and 5, and then Revelation 3, 18, the church in Sardis, we have looked at it. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garment. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, because these elders are sitting on thrones. They are dressed in white, okay, dressed in white, and it comes to the Revelation 3:18. Remember, to the church in Laodicea, God says, no, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. Okay, and then there are two kinds of crowns. There is a crown that you receive by right, simply by virtue of your birth. Okay, like Prince Charles became King Charles. Okay, and the next one will be Prince William. Okay, and next one will be the eldest one. I forgot his name, little boy. You know, because it's by virtue of their birth. Okay, so when the Magi comes, they says, where is he born king of Jews? Born king, he's born king. Okay. So, there are crowns you get by virtue of your birth. And there are crowns you earn because you overcome something. Okay. So you see him seated on the throne. He's crowned with many crowns. That is virtue of who he is. But these 24 elders, if you look in terms as if it is going to be overcomers, okay, overcomers, they get it only by virtue that they overcame. So the group who says, therefore, it can only apply to the new covenant believers, do not. And the reason they say is this, okay, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, 9, 10. 8, 9, 10. We are looking at it in detail. Why do they say this? This can be only new covenant believers. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed to us, to God, by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth. So suddenly you realize these 24 are there. They're talking about their prophetic future. These 24 are there. And what do? They are singing a new song. And they take this song and say, this song they are talking about can apply only to the new covenant believers, because only they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, it cannot be the old covenant saints. And therefore, the new covenant people are the ones who will be kings and priests unto our God. But there is an issue over there. Okay. The thing is that in the old covenant they looked forward. In the new covenant we look backwards. Okay. Okay. In the middle of these two stands the cross. Okay. The atonement middle. Okay. So in Revelation 13 and verse 8. Okay. So we have to look, like I said, if you look it from earth time point of view, we will miss the whole picture. We have to look from eternity. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. That is the Antichrist. Whose names have not been written in the book of life. So the question is, worship him. They are only talking about the Antichrist who is yet to come. Or they're talking about the Antichrist who were there before. So everyone whose name is not in the Lamb's book of life has worshipped the Antichrist in different forms. He hasn't come down physically yet in the same way Jesus Christ hasn't come down physically yet. The Spirit of Christ is still speaking to us.
Yes.
So these two spirits are at work. The spirit of the world is the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of God is the spirit of Christ. Okay. So these two things are there and both will physically manifest one day. Okay, and who is Jesus Christ called? He is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the problem is, if you're looking from time, you will say all kind of saints are all out because he died for us. The problem isn't that. The problem is when you look into eternity, he was slain in the beginning. There's no time there. There was no time there. Okay, and then if you come to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, see, only those who are waiting for heaven will be excited by teaching, okay? To others, you have to tell them 5 ways to get rich on earth and 4 ways to prosper in your office. They will be very excited. So those who are looking up shall look straight. Now, therefore, Exodus 5 and 6, okay? Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Who is speaking to? Israel in the wilderness. What did he say? You shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the promise was to them too. The promise was to them too. Okay. So you will see basically the same promise is given in the book of Revelation. New covenant to us. You are a royal priesthood. Okay. So they were also given the promise. You shall be kings and priests and a holy people unto me. So what do kings have? Kings have authority. What do priests do? They serve God. This is the two things. So it is an amalgam of both this. You will have authority. That is why God was upset when they asked for a king. Because he said they have rejected me. I wanted every man to be king. Every man to be king. That was his whole idea. Every man to be. Old covenant pattern, all type also was the same. And everyone to serve me. Okay? Serve me. And if you look in the actual visible picture, I can pick easily three people there. One is Moses. Moses was a king and a priest. He was actually among them in type. He ruled over them. And anybody who went after them, God went after them. If you notice, anybody went after Moses, it didn't matter who it was. Brother, sister, leadership. Anybody went after Moses, God went after him because he was the first person on earth after the fall to have the full delegated authority of God. And yet he was from the tribe of Levi and he functioned as a priest. The next one you see is Samuel. Samuel was judge, absolute authority. Nobody would dare to go after against him and he functioned as a priest. And the third one actually is David. He was king and he acted as a priest. When he ate the bread, God didn't say anything to him. He was more priest than the Levites. Okay, so you have a picture over there, king and priest over there. So the question is this. So when I say 24, I see old covenant overcomers and I see new covenant overcomers. If the old covenant people had to be saved, the simple thing is that they had to get out of Egypt. They had to, after everything they did, they still had to put the blood of the lamb on their house. Then only they could escape the 10th one. They still had to have the day of atonement. The simple question, my question to people who argue about this is this. Do you really believe the blood of a lamb, however good it is, can really save you unless it was pointing to something else? It does not have the power to save. It does not have the power to save it. Because it is only signifying. The simple thing is that old days, like in my age, you know, there were two kinds of paracetamol. One was paracetamol, the other was tapioca powder. Tapioca powder. Tapioca powdered, not tapioca, that white dried powder, and fake paracetamol used to come over there. But some people were given the type and they got healed because they really did not have a disease. And sometimes I knew the old doctors, they would keep both with them. So this person comes and says, doctor, I'm not feeling good at all. He says, yeah, take this three times a day and it's perfectly well. It is not paracetamol, it is just a type. Because his sickness was in his head, not in his body. But if the sickness was in his body, he gave the other one. Okay. So you need to realize doctors were very smart those days. Very, very. They never medicated people. We were never medicated. Our days to get one tablet was such a huge thing. How you showed off in your class, because you were told right after lunch, everybody watching, they got a tablet. You never were given a tablet. In the first 20, 25 years of my life, I must have taken maybe 5 tablets. You were never given a tablet because you never fell ill in the first place. Because you ate what your mother cooked. That was the reason. And you drank water and not the colored stuff. Okay, so you never well and no? So we are talking about. So ask my question is, can a type save you? No. Unless it is pointing you to something else. So the blood of the Passover lamb. So that is why everything Moses was told, he was told very carefully. Do it exactly. You cannot fool around. Don't bring your ideas. Remember, even in Exodus 20, when the altar, the first thing to be made, he said, don't put a stone. Don't work on the stone. It's plain. And if you realize, the beginning of Babylon in Genesis 6 is they took stone out and put brick. Brick is made by man. Stone is made by God. The beginning of this world system is given symbolically in Genesis 6. They took stone out and may put brick in. But when God comes and brings a nation for himself, the first you go over there. Exodus 20. No? Exodus 20. One of the first things he says is that, no? Yeah. About the stone, no? Yeah, somewhere over there, I know. Pastor Vijay is my concurrence. Yeah, 20, verse 24 onwards. Okay. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. First, it has to be earth. Okay, your sheep, your oxen, in every place where I record my name, you will come to you. I will come to you. I will bless you. Then verse 25. Yeah. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. And the simple thing, that's why we say, you can use illustration to make people understand, but use scripture to interpret scripture. Because if you use something from secular culture or past culture to interpret scripture, you have used a stool, you have used a tool on the stone. And this is where all the danger in the church took place. Because they brought things from Greek culture and that culture, Corinthian culture, this culture, and they brought a tool, and suddenly what happens is the truth is lost. The truth is lost. Okay. So that is, and the second thing God says, you say, nor shall you go up by steps to my altar. It should be plain ground. There should be no steps to go up. If you look at every ancient pagan altars, there were so many steps. But God says no. Why? Why is it? Because this altar signifies the cross. It's level ground. There are no two steps to salvation, three steps. Every man must come to that bottom, humble himself, whether you are rich or poor, noble or great. The cross is a level ground. It's a level ground. I told you that illustration of Lord Mountbatten in the Anglican Church. When you have to, one thing I like about the Anglican Church, I mean, you can't do it for us. They have this aisle over there. And they say, everybody comes and kneels over there to receive the communion. So a guy who was a drunk reputation, he came, and Lord Mountbatten had kneeled over there. This guy also came, kneeled next to him, and the priest was trying to tell him, no, get up, it's Lord Mountbatten. Lord Mountbatten put his arm around him and says, everybody is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody is level here. There is no Lord, Lady here. Everybody is the same at the foot of the cross. Okay, so this is what God is talking about. So when we look at these things, okay, so God says over there, what happened? If we will remember in Revelation 5, we looked at what these 24 elders, what they symbolize and what they will do in verse 10, 8, 9, 10, we saw verse, yeah. No, Revelation 5, verse 10, these are the 24 elders, no? 5:10. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and where shall we reign? On earth. So this is talking about the millennial reign. These 24 elders for me represents the overcomers from the old covenant, and that new covenant will rule earth during Jesus' reign. And I do believe the 24 from the old covenant will rule the Jewish nation. Because then, okay, if you go to Joshua chapter 1, when they are entering into the earth, they have entered, but they haven't crossed River Jordan. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Okay. Okay. And verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Okay. Yeah. Verse 4. This is the key. Okay. Verse 4. Yeah. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of Hittites to the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your territory. Even Solomon did not possess this. But in the millennium realm, that will the boundaries of Israel. Boundaries of Israel, with Jerusalem being the capital. Okay? And there will be 12 elders. 12 is a symbolic number, so we do not know, but different levels of thrones, okay? So I believe that will be the Jewish kingdom. And the rest of the world, I believe will be the others, the Gentile overcomers. They will rule the rest of this world, okay? If you read the Isaiah prophecies and all that, and if I'll give you that portion so that we will, not Isaiah, if you go to the book of Genesis, okay, if you go to the book of Genesis, post-flood, Genesis 10 and verse 25, Genesis 10, 25, so because, no? Yeah, 10. This is post-Noah. To Eber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg. Okay, then something is realized. For in his days, the earth was divided. Not the world, the earth was divided. So the assumption is that during the time of Peleg, something happened. Science will call it continental drift. Okay, and all, because if you look at it, if you were to do a computer animation kind of a stuff, you put all the islands and all together, the earth actually becomes one mass, and the waters are surrounding the earth. That is how earth was in Genesis 1:1-2. Then during the plague, something took place and all these continents drifted different parts. But if you look in Isaiah, during the time of judgment, it says every island will be shaken. I do believe God will again do something where all these things will become one more mass with the oceans around. And Jerusalem will become again the center of the world. Literally, geographically, if you really do a computer animation, you will realize actually Jerusalem stands in the center of the world. Even now, between Europe, Asia and Africa, it comes there in the center of the world. But now all this will be put together. Jerusalem will be the center, the Jewish kingdom first, and then the rest of the world, and the overcomers will rule. Okay. So this is the incentive given to the believers. Okay, come on. Like we tell, focus on children. Focus, studies, sports, arts, whatever. There is an incentive kept on the end. Okay, you begin with ice cream, but you don't end with ice cream, because after that fellow ice cream is not satisfied of how much more. So God gives us the ultimate. He says, you shall sit on my throne as I overcame and sat on my father's throne and reign with me. This is what is given to us. And this is the motivation. This is the motivation. Okay. So you will see that's where in Revelation 4 and verse 5. You see the sights and the sounds. From the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices and 11 lamps. So this is basically, it's like what we say in US. It's like 4th of July, or for India, it's like Diwali. Okay, the sights in heaven. Okay, sights in heaven. Okay, I mean, if you actually understand what Diwali is, it is the most important festival in India, because it's connected with your mythical past, where the king whom you are waiting to come and bring the reign of righteousness, that's what is called Ram Raja, when he's coming after his one of us. So he was exiled and he's coming back and he's going to establish his kingdom. When he comes back, there is celebration, the lights. See, these myths have a truth in it. Only thing, they don't know Ram is Christ. When Adam believed, Ram was exiled, Christ was exiled, the devil took over. But he's coming back to take over his position, and there will be celebration. But in heaven, is always there. There is celebration. The sounds and the sights of what you are talking about. Like it's a 4D kind of a vision he's seeing. So we don't fight over it to interpret it, because nobody can interpret from the physical, the spiritual. You cannot interpret. No, forget interpreting the book of Revelation. I haven't still figured out my microwave. And I still use it. I can't figure. Pastor Vijay may tell you about it. Even when he tells it to me, I still don't understand it. Okay? So we are not even able to figure out the things which we see. And then we fight over things which we do not see. Okay? So that's why I said, don't be dogmatic unless there is a truth involved in it. So that is the sides of it. And then we saw verse 6. Okay? And then we come in the midst. Okay, this is why I said, if you read verse 6, okay, if you read verse 6, how do you figure it out? Before the throne and in the midst of the throne, how do you figure that? It doesn't make sense, because it doesn't make sense in the dimension I'm living in. It doesn't make any sense. In the front of the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne, okay, I thought on the throne God is sitting. For us, midst means in the middle. But in the middle, God should be sitting. It doesn't make sense. Because this is not our dimension. So poor John is trying to figure out words. You know? And he's not getting the words. And then we fight over it. Okay? And now, I will show you. Read the four living creatures. Where four, words 6 and 8. Okay? 6 and, yeah. Four living creatures, full of eyes in the front and in the back. Now you come to verse 8. Okay. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Now, is it front or back or around or within? We don't know. Because this seems to be transparent. Okay, so, you look at it, I mean, you look at it in detail, you study, you know what? This is not a description for us to understand. This is a description for us, if you really read it with your heart, your mouth will fall open. What is this? Like when manna came, they said, what is this? What is this? God said, this is something which you do not know, which is very good for you. Okay. As long as you eat of it, you will be fine. There will be none weak among you, none ill among you. You can do whatever you want to do it. You want to boil it. You want to fry it, fry it. You want to make tandoor manna. Do it. But it should be manna. It should be manna. Okay. Meaning, eat your word, whichever way you want, morning or afternoon or evening, fried or with oil or without oil, bland. But eat your word. Eat your word. Our problem is we don't eat our word, and like them, they said, we are tired of this manna. Okay, so here also the thing is that we can't figure these things out. What are these things? Is it front or back? It is around or within? The answer is, if you want to look at the three dimension, it is front and within, front and back. If you're going to his decision dimension, it is around and within. Okay, only once you have, all who have experienced 4D, Okay. We have all experienced 4D. I mean, you haven't gone, just the next time, take her. No, that was 3D. No, 4D was, okay. Yeah, that is 4D, okay? So there is 3D and 4D over here, okay? When you go to, remember in Singapore, we went on 4D, remember, right? So that is, even 4D cannot explain this, okay? It cannot explain this, because after some time, they will take your money for that experience, and 20 minutes later, they will say, get out, okay? This is no free. John is given. How long it took also, we do not know. And ultimately, remember, why is it exciting? Is this is where we are going to live eternity. This is our future. This is our future. So God says, live your present in the light of the future. And when you look at your past, don't worry. Future you look. Because when you look at the future, because that is the reason why we can live as God wants us to live. Because we have seen the end of the book. We have seen the end of the story. And the only thing that matters in that story, there is a book, is your name in that book. If your name is in that book, God says, don't worry, I got it. Now run to win. Run to win. So you will see this if you come back to these four living creatures in verse 7. Okay. Verse 7. Isaiah describes it and Ezekiel sees it. Okay. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. So we don't know. We can presume. Cannot be dogmatic. We can presume. And the simple question is that, why is it that even Gentile cultures like ours, okay, can leave Britain aside, because Britain was a Christian culture. So they also have the lion. We also have the lion. Sri Lanka also has the lion. Why is that in every culture, the lion is called the king of the jungle? Right? The majesty. Even though the tiger, in some cases, may be more powerful, the tiger doesn't behave like a lion. Doesn't behave like a lion. The lion behaves differently. If he sees a little higher ground, he'll go and sit there. He won't sit down. A little hillock, he'll go sit on top of that. He's not, and he's a lazy fellow. He likes all his wife's work and then he comes to take the kill. Okay, if you have noticed how they just, okay, he sits on his throne and he rules. Okay, so the first is lion, and we see the lion is authority. Okay, authority, signifying authority. Second living creature is a calf. In the old covenant, it's called an ox, or a calf and ox. What are they used? They are used for as a beast of burden, carries the weight, and also it signifies sacrifice. The third living creature has the face of a man. And when you have the face of a man, it talks about wisdom. Because man is the only one who's made in the image of God. Okay? Good, I'm saying. Good mean imagine. When we talk about the eagle, it talks about speed. Okay? So these four living creatures. Okay, for they're called living creatures. The reason is, okay, other texts will use the term beasts, living creatures. Okay, the reason is later other creatures will rise from the sea and all, but they are evil. Okay, their intention is destruction, but these are called living. They're called living. That's how you make the distinction between them and them. They bring death. These bring life. These bring life. Okay. And in verse 8, the Bible says, they're full of eyes around and they do not rest day or night. Okay. Do not rest. Does not mean they don't rest. It basically means they never stop praising God. They never stop praising God. They, okay, holy, 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 okay, they talk about, this is what they praise, okay, now, you may disagree with doctrine, but the fact of the matter is, one of the first things when, on the day of Pentecost that happens, is a particular spiritual gift is given, if you notice, a particular spiritual gift is given. And that particular gift that is given is the gift of tongues. And one of the uses of the tongues, Paul says, one prayer, the other is praise. He says, I sing in the spirit more than all. He says, sing. Okay. And if you actually train your spirit, you can praise and worship him in your spirit even when you are sleeping. Because you will, if you are sleeping next to a person, husband or wife, who has trained that, you will hear that one is sleeping and praising. Why? He's making us in the image of them now, who will worship him day and night. Day and night. Train it, train. I said the problem is we have trained our bodies to become athletes. We have trained our minds. We become experts in different fields. But we have not learned to train our spirits. Our spirits train. We have received, but we haven't learned because the problem is the soul takes over. And if soul takes over, it never gets fully saved because the end of salvation is the salvation of our soul so that the spirit is in control. So we have given a picture, given a picture. So when you see, so now here, we cannot be dogmatic, but we can understand the truth. I was created to worship God. I was created. And God, Jesus comes and tells the woman at Samaria, no, God is seeking. God is seeking. Who? He's seeking worshipers. Seeking worshipers. Okay? Worshipers. And that is one of the things we have to train. No? Like, to yesterday, somebody I said, no, said, I don't understand, Papu, what is happening. I said, it's okay. Does not matter. No? I know you. You pray very well in tongues, so you don't understand. Don't pray with understanding. Just pray in the spirit. He understands. Give your spirit over to him and let him pray through you. Use your vocal cords, but you pray. You don't understand what is going on. Doesn't matter. As long as he understands. Our children in our homes, our little children, especially Pastor Vijay, all those friends, little children, they don't understand half the things their parents say. It doesn't matter as long as they obey. We won't understand, even we read these six verses, we didn't understand 99% of it. We think we understand, but we don't understand. We don't really understand. We think we understand, but the fact of the matter is that the teacher and the student hasn't understood. Okay? Hasn't understood. Because you cannot understand that. But the thing is that you do it by faith. Because you trust him. That's why God, Bible says God in the last days has spoken through his son. And what is the greatest voice of the son? It's a cross. God gave his only begotten son. He cannot speak louder than this. He cannot speak louder. If you don't trust me after this, God says, I have nothing more to say. Nothing more to say. I have nothing more to say. This is my last word. So Jesus is the last word. Okay, last word is my last word. So therefore, we can trust him. We can trust. That's the whole purpose of looking at. We are not trying to gather knowledge about what heaven is. Everybody's knowledge of heaven will be false when they reach there. They'll realize, I saw only in part. Okay, so it's not knowledge. What am I getting out of this? So at the end of it, we look at these four living creatures. What are they doing? They don't rest day and night, meaning non-stop. Non-stop. Okay, non-stop. They are saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Okay, is to come. So they are there in eternity, but they are speaking to us in time. They are speaking to themselves. For them, there is no us, is, and is always one present continuum. But here they are speaking to us and says, he was holy, he is holy, and what is to come is also holy. Okay. Talking, I mean, there are so many levels of it, but it doesn't, you know, this is one of the first of, there are 14 doxologies of God in the book of Revelation. This is the first of the doxologies. Okay. Okay. There is also an allusion of what is to come. What is to come? It's an allusion. And connected with the word holy. When everything is over, everything that is left will be holy. So be holy. So be holy. By the time Revelation 21 begins, there is nothing unholy. Everything is holy. Everything is holy. Okay. And suddenly you will see one man, take it out in the eternity with God. He's got a body, which is holy. He's got a soul, which is holy. The spirit, that is holy. Okay, spirit. And that is how it ends in 15 Corinthians 15. Paul will say, he will hand the kingdom of the Father, and the God will be in all. All will be holy. All will be holy. So he says, this is why we pursue. Okay, pursue. Like I said, unless you have an incentive, you cannot pursue anything. Why do you pursue righteousness? So why do you pursue faith? Because without faith, you cannot please God. So people who are not interested in pleasing God will not pursue faith. How to grow in faith? How to grow in faith? Okay. Why do you pursue holiness? Because without holiness, no one will see God. So if you're not interested in seeing God, you won't pursue it. Behind everything, there has to be a reason. Okay. After some time, God says, stop being a child. Grow up. Because behind everything, when an adult becomes an adult, transfers from a child to an adult, he focuses. That's why I say class 10, class 12. By then they decide, this is what I want to do. Then they pursue it. And God says, spiritually too, why do you pursue this? And you cannot, all we can do is magnify Jesus, magnify the kingdom of God, show these things, pictures of heaven. But you cannot cause people to pursue anything. Unless they choose. Okay, we can lift Jesus up. Okay, we can lift this all up. But when somebody is enraptured by Christ Jesus, he will want to please him. But what the system has done, the world system within the church, especially with our prosperity gospel, is that they brought earth down. They made heaven on earth. So they have used faith to pursue things and not God. And the problem is, if you meet them, they're always dissatisfied, because the problem is things have a capacity to satisfy you with only for a little time. I mean, think about anything that you bought which gave you joy. Does it last? No. Last. The only thing, I'm honest, the only thing in our own lives other than God, the only thing that has the capacity to give us joy and more joy, it has to be living. It's our children and relationships. They either bring joy or they bring sorrow. Other things doesn't have, it loses its, because it's a thing. There's no life in it. There's no life in it. So God is showing us eternity and showing us eternal life and say, pursue these things. And Jesus puts it in one line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry about these things. He says, if you put the kingdom first and his righteousness, no? That's where it comes. That's what it's talking about. And what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. In verse 9, you see, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. That's a response. Now, who are these living creatures? We don't know. I believe these four represents the angelic. The 24 represent the other created. The both are created, but one in the angelic realm, the other in the human realm. So when these four who been there, my perception, been there from the beginning when they were created, never fell, have been worshipping God, understands His holiness. These 24 who moved from time into that sphere, when they hear their worship, they fall on their face. Because they cannot worship like them because they were not there in the beginning. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever, ever, and they cast their, will stop there, cast their crowns before the throne. Another incentive. Why should I overcome? If I don't overcome, I will have nothing to lay down at His feet. I'll stand there empty handed. Remember how Saul began? King Saul was a good guy in the beginning. He began small beginnings. They had lost their donkeys 3 days. And he said, there is a seer, a prophet over here. He says, how can we go to the prophet with nothing in our hand? We need to give him something. Think about it. At the end of everything, after pursuing all the stupid things on the world, you got saved, you reach over there and you realize you have nothing to lay at His feet. Have nothing. Nothing to lay, nothing to show. Okay. That's what the Bible says. Many will be ashamed at His appearance. Not they are unsaved. They will be ashamed because they realize, no? Realize they will be ashamed. I had nothing to give. I never overcame. If I had overcome, I would have got a crown. And on that day, I would have put it at His feet and says, Lord, it was by grace and grace alone. I don't deserve this. It was You who did it all through me. You put it, I laid at Your feet. Okay, but you did not overcome. But you reached heaven. Praise God. Thank God. Even that is a gift. Okay. Overcoming is also through grace. That's what Zechariah 4, 6 and 7 is talking about. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit. Oh Zerubbabel. Oh Zerubbabel, a prototype of a saint. This mountain shall become a plain with shouts of capstone. You shall put the capstone. If you read Peter, the cornerstone is grace. Capstone is grace. In between, it was all done by grace. How can you wear it in His presence? You will take it off. You will take it off. You realize, you know what? It was all Him. It was all Him. Okay, all Him. And in your gratitude, what you can do is they cast their crowns before the throne saying, three things they say. This is what you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. In the book of Colossians, Paul will talk about that, how everything was created by Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul will say, the pleasure of His will. It was all created for Him. No, all created. I mean, it looks, see, the it is the fall that cost us. The fall, self came in, rebellion came in, and we hate doing something for somebody and where the somebody gets the glory. There is a dislike within inside. And you can overcome it only when you realize how loving God is, and what He's offering us. There is no self in God. I mean, which king will say you can sit there? Up to half the kingdom is the maximum promised in the Bible. Okay, and they had to be drunk for that. Okay. But here is a sit with my throne. I sit with my throne, my father, you know, okay. And Jesus says in the, I still haven't got over that all these years from the first time. That the fact that in John He says, He loves me as He loves Jesus. That is still difficult to figure. A little difficult to figure. It is actually written that the fact that He loves us the way He loves Jesus. And think about it. Is it? It was possible. God had to practically prove it to me. When Madhulika came into my life, I realized it is possible to love somebody's child just as much. And I think I actually loved her a little more than mine. That's why I still miss her. I can tell you exactly how many years, how many months, how many days. May the 20th, she left. I have forgotten when the other children went to other places to study. I haven't yet forgotten when that child, until today, it is her. That is on the front of my phone. Though I know I'll never see her. It was a proof to me that you thought I couldn't love you as I loved my son. But you love somebody's child as much as you love your own. So if you can do it, do you find it difficult to believe? I said, no, Lord, I don't find it difficult to believe. It's possible. And for you anyway, all things are possible. But that love factor, we struggle. We struggle with that. Okay, so when you know that, the first thing you need to realize is, Lord, help me. Help me to love like that. The family of God, help me to love. We are all one family. Eternity, we are going to be together. And help us to love one another as brothers, as sisters, the same Father. That's what you are trying. That's why it says, love is the greatest. Faith will go, hope will become reality. We don't need faith anymore. But love never fails. Love never fails. Yes, we shall go to Peter and pray.
Over, couldn't find nobody. Searched high and low, couldn't find nobody. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Searched high and low, Lord, couldn't find nobody. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Searched high and low, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody, Lord. Searched high and low, Lord, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you, Lord. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
They can say holy, 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 because their lips are pure, cleansed, sanctified. We hesitate to repeat those words in worship. We know it's true, that's who you are. Lord, if we come near you, all we are aware of our unworthiness. We thank you for the Lamb that was slain. There's only one way. Only one way we can come. Now we understand why you say come boldly. Through that living way, the blood and the body of your Son that makes us worthy. Our best works. It's like filthy rags before you. The light of your glory. The light of your majesty. Everything that we struggle with look irrelevant. The problems of life. Today I pray, Father, even as we stand here, even as we pray, your children online and offline, your children will see open heavens, will hear that voice, and they will see above all, in the midst of their turbulence and their problems, there is a throne set in heaven. And the radiance and the glory of the one who is sitting on it, they will know everything. Everything is under control. Help us not to limit your hand by our unbelief. Help us to believe. Help us to believe. Everyone. Everyone, Lord. For we all have been called to do different things. And usually our struggle is, Lord, who is sufficient unto these things? I simply don't have it. But help us to see all power, all honor, all glory is yours. You are the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. There is no past, present, future for you. You have seen the end from the beginning. Therefore we can work from rest. Therefore we can speak like your servant David. Oh my soul, why are you troubled? Why are you downcast? Hope in the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come this day, this whole week into the hands. Every meeting we have, Lord. Tomorrow is pastor's meeting, Lord. Pastor Vijay has his meetings. Oh, Father. The gospel meetings during this season. Everything we commit into the hands. All we want to do is lift you up.
Yes.
Lift you up.
Hallelujah.
The Gentiles might see the light. And those who have seen will be made even more stronger, Lord. That's all we ask, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Preparing our people.
Yes.
For the Savior, Lord.
Yes, my God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We just thank you. We just praise you. We just worship
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Once again, we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.